chapter 39 as we continue our study through the book of Isaiah as a church. We are in the 39th chapter together, and we're going to begin our reading in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 39. I hope that you brought your Bibles to church. It's so important for us to understand that this is not my opinion, this is thus saith the Lord. This is God's word, and he is our authority. And the reality is, if you don't change your life because of what God said, then you're not going to change your life for nothing. I mean, he's the authority of your life, and you need to look to him. And I hope that you will allow the Lord to speak to your hearts this morning, and that God will direct you. Chapter 39 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all that the house and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, and all that is in thine house, that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to look at the truth for our life. And I pray, Lord, you would help us as we examine these powerful principles for our life, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers as well. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be changed because of our a part of this service. And Lord, may you be glorified. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. I know I'm unable to help anyone. It's your word that makes a difference in our life. And so, Lord, I pray that your word would speak to our hearts through your spirit. May you be glorified, and may your word be glorified in us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we study through the book of Isaiah, the very first section of the book of Isaiah, it deals with the threat of the Assyrians. But as we come to the last section of the book of Isaiah, this is chapter 39 to chapter 66, it speaks of the threat of the captivity by the hand of the Babylonians. And so really, chapter 39 would be an introduction to the next section as we consider the threat of the Babylonians to Judah. Now, the Bible says, as we learned a couple of weeks ago in chapter 38, that King Hezekiah had been sick, and God had healed him. God had given him 15 more years. And the Bible says that this healing had really allowed pride to get in King Hezekiah's life. In fact, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, I want us to go to the book of 2 Chronicles, if we could go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse number 24. The Bible says this, chapter 32, verse 24, "In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign." Verse 25 says this, "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. The Bible says that God had healed Hezekiah, and after the healing in Hezekiah's life, Hezekiah just kind of forgot about God. God no longer was the focus of his life. And the scriptures teach us that Hezekiah's heart was lifted up. It's easy for us to become proud at the blessings of God in our life. And we lose focus that this is all done by the hand of God. C.S. Lewis said this, "If anyone would like to acquire humility, I think I would tell him first that the first step is to realize that one is proud. If you think you're not conceited, it means that you are very conceited indeed." Pride is a dangerous thing. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 31, it says, "Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land." The Bible says God left him, this is speaking of Hezekiah, "to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." Now, I want us to understand here what the Bible is saying, that expression there that God left him. It really shows us from the Bible the shortcomings of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. God's Spirit would come upon specific people for specific purposes. When David committed sin with Bathsheba, he prayed that God would not take away his Holy Spirit. But as we come into the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit indwells those who believe in Jesus Christ. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And if we are straying from God, it's not God leaving us, but us leaving God. It's us living our life without the Lord and doing our own thing. I think the greatest example of that would be Peter. Peter, you know, he was with the Lord and he followed the Lord and he was bold with the Lord. And then when Jesus went to the judgment hall, Peter stood by in the garden. And the Bible says that Peter denied the Lord three times. Because when we stray away from the Lord, we are weak. We are much stronger when Jesus is near. Do you believe that this morning? And so the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that God had left Hezekiah because God allowed these events to take place in Hezekiah's life because God was testing him. God was revealing what was in Hezekiah's heart. So I want us to understand this, that when we look at this scripture here, we are looking more at not just the heart of Hezekiah, but the human heart in general. I'm talking about your heart, and I'm talking about my heart, because the Bible says that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. People will say, "Well, I'm just going to follow my heart." Don't follow your heart. Your heart is deceitful. Your heart is wicked. You need to follow truth. You need to follow what God has to say. And so we find in this passage of Scripture that Hezekiah stopped following God. He was lifted up in pride, and he started to follow that deceitful, wicked heart. And so what we're talking about is the message here about our human heart and the threat that every one of us have with this deceitful heart. I was talking to a pastor this week, and I'm friends with this pastor. I've preached at his church several times, and we were talking about COVID and moving forward through COVID. And I remember there was a gentleman there that was serving the Lord, and he was on fire for God, and he was just a great individual to talk to about the Lord. And I remember asking him, I said, "How is so-and-so doing?" And I'll never forget what he said. He says, "Oh, he doesn't come to church anymore. He doesn't serve the Lord anymore. He's backslidden." I thought, wow, not in a million years would I ever think that that individual would ever become a backslidden Christian. But we're talking about a deceitful heart here. We're talking about a heart that is wicked. And if we get our eyes off of the Lord, then we can become the next Christian casualty. And this is a real threat today for every single Christian. So I want us to notice here what the Bible has to say in our text. And I want us to look at three pitfalls this morning when it comes to pride and the threat that we have when it comes to pride in our life. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write down number one with me. Pride causes us to lose focus. Pride causes us to lose focus. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 39, it says, at that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. First of all, I want us to note in this passage of Scripture that with Hezekiah, there was a misplaced glory. There was a misplaced glory. Now, Assyria had been a huge threat to Judah and to Babylon. And I think all of us would understand that the king of Babylon wouldn't be interested in lowly Judah. They were more interested in their own agenda, their own advantage. And I think that King Hezekiah kind of got caught up in the attention that was being showed to him by the king of Babylon. And yet I find it interesting that the king of Babylon wasn't interested in Hezekiah at all. You say, Pastor Burns, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 31, it says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. They weren't interested in Hezekiah. They didn't care about his riches or his gold or all that he had. What they wanted to know is this wonder that occurred in the land of Judah. You say, well, what is this wonder? Well, I think it's two things. This sign or this miraculous showing, I think it happened, first of all, was the healing of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was nigh unto death, and I think he had a disease that couldn't be healed, and God showed him mercy, and God healed him. But also, the miraculous was the reversal of the shadow in Judah. And so, the Bible says here that the king of Babylon wanted to understand more of this sign or this wonder that occurred in Judah. And yet, instead of talking about God, instead of talking about the Lord and all that God had done for him, the Bible says that Hezekiah's focus and his glory was on himself. Listen to me. There was a wonderful opportunity for Hezekiah to glorify God before these pagan Babylonians. But instead of glorifying God, he glorified himself. Look at all that I have acquired. Look at all of my armor. Look at all of my treasures. I am such a wonderful king. Friend, listen to me. We have nothing to glory in. Only God is who we should glory in. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Because of pride, his focus wasn't on bringing God glory. It was bringing glory to himself. And so I think in Hezekiah's life, we see a misplaced glory. But also we find a misplaced gladness. The Bible says in verse number 2, and Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, and the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of the armor and all that was found in the treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. He was happy that they came to see him. You know, Hezekiah's gladness should have been in the work of God. It should have been in the healing of God. It should have been in God's wonder before his eyes. And yet we see that Hezekiah's attention was, you know what? Now we can defeat the Assyrians. Now we have this problem solved. And his focus was on himself. And God was now in his past. And so this is so sad when it comes to the life of an individual. You know, I think that Hezekiah was even saying, well, this is an answer of prayer. It frustrates me when people do wrong and live their life not according to the Bible, and then they bring God into it like God approves it. And here in this passage of Scripture, Hezekiah is rejoicing in that these men came to see him. And this is not what God wanted. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And yet we find in Hezekiah's proud heart, he had a misplaced glory. He had a misplaced gladness. He rejoiced in his sin. He rejoiced in his pride and not in the righteousness and not in the glory of Almighty God. Number two, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? Pride makes us the center of attention. Pride makes us the center of attention. Look what the scripture says in verse number three together. Verse number three of our text, Isaiah 39. The Bible says, "Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in mine house they have seen, and there is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." Isaiah comes to King Hezekiah and he asks two questions. He said, first of all, what did they say and who are they? What did they say and who are they? And we see the pride in this king's heart in verse number three. He answers one question, but he doesn't answer the other. He says, oh, they have come from a far country. They have come even from Babylon, and they have come to see me. They want to see me. All that mattered in Hezekiah's life was Hezekiah. All the attention, all the focus was now placed upon him. We know from the scripture that they did not come to see Hezekiah. They wanted to inquire about the wonder that had happened in Judah. And yet Hezekiah made it all about him. Friend, listen to me. This is more than just a commentary on Hezekiah's life. This is the condition of the human heart. If you are not careful, this can happen to me. This can happen to you because our heart is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. And we find really the voices of a proud heart is, hey, listen, I didn't get my way. I'm offended. I'm mistreated. I'm important. These are the voices of a proud heart. And pride makes what should be about the Lord about us. We become the center of attention. Listen to me, friend. I've seen families crumble because of pride, where someone says, it's all about me. It's all about my desires. It's all about my pleasures. I don't care about my kids. I don't care about my spouse. It's all about me. I've seen churches crumble because people make it about them and not about God. And so this really is a commentary of the human heart. We find, first of all, letter A in our notes this morning, that when we become the focus, when it's about us, we cannot see the threat down the road. When we become the focus, we become blinded to the threats that are down the road. You know, all of us are making decisions today. You made a decision today to come to church. That's a good decision. We are all making decisions, and we understand the biblical principle that we reap what we sow. Our decisions have consequences. Events are going to take place down the road because of the decisions that we make today. And yet, a heart that is filled with pride, they don't care about who they hurt. They don't care about the consequences down the road. They are only caring about themselves. Listen, distant things don't seem dangerous. Distant things don't seem dangerous. When Joshua was conquering the promised land, he was met by a group of ambassadors claiming to be from a distant land. In Joshua chapter 9 and verse number 9, the scripture says, "And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants have come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt." And the Bible says that they were wearing worn out clothes. They carried with them stale bread. And so Joshua went ahead and he made a treaty with them, not knowing of the consequences, not seeking the face of God, not asking the Lord's counsel, but he went ahead and he just made a decision. But the Bible teaches us that these people were not from a far country. They were, in fact, from around the corner. And the Bible says that the Gibeonites proved to be much trouble for Israel. Listen, friend, when we allow pride to get into our life, all we see is ourself. All we see is what we want. We don't care about who we hurt on the way. We don't care about the consequences down the road. In fact, we don't even care to look down the road. The reality is that pride, it doesn't allow us to see the threat that come into our life down the road. Letter B, let's look at this. When we become the focus, when it's all about us, we see things differently. And I'm not saying we see things differently that are good. I'm saying that we see things wrong. We see things the wrong way. In verse number 4, the Bible says this, "Then said he, what have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." This is not very wise. I mean, Hezekiah was a good king. But this is not kingly. You just don't let the enemy into your home. You just don't let a king who eventually would conquer you to roam around your kingdom. Oh, and this is where we keep all of our weapons, and this is our shortcut, and this is all of our gold and treasures. That's just not smart. And because Hezekiah had been lifted up, because Hezekiah wasn't seeing things God's way, he started to see things differently. He started to see things through the glasses of pride, and it all had become about him. And friends, listen to me. Hezekiah knew better. He knew better. And all of us can be guilty of this. When we become the center of attention, when we want to have what we want in our life, when it becomes about us, then what happens? We begin to drop those biblical standards. We begin to compromise on our convictions. And we let the enemy into our life. And friend, when you let the devil into your life, he's not going to be happy with just one room. He's going to want the whole place. The Bible says it this way in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. This is a great passage of Scripture, and I really think we all should have it memorized, easy to memorize, and underlined and highlighted in our Bible. It says this, "Neither give place to the devil." Don't give the devil area of your life. Don't let the devil have a part of your life. Don't invite him in. Don't show him around. The devil is your enemy. He's not your friend. He doesn't want to help you. He wants to harm you. You know, the Bible teaches us that Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man. You know, the Bible says he looked towards Sodom and he lusted over that lush land. He thought to himself, that would be a great place for a garden. I could make even more money than I have now. And so the Bible says that Lot moved into Sodom and Gomorrah. The problem was that Sodom and Gomorrah moved into Lot. And it influenced him. It lifted him up in pride, and he started to see things differently. In fact, the Bible says that Lot had the first TV, tent view. He looked towards Sodom. And he saw those people in Sodom and said, hey, they're having a lot of fun. I mean, they're really enjoying their life. Maybe I could have a part of that. Maybe I should move in and live my life that way. And the Bible says that Lot did those things. And unfortunately, he had lost his focus and he ended up losing his own family because he saw things differently and he didn't see the threat down the road. And really, until it was too late. And so the Bible teaches us that pride is a dangerous thing, and we find it in the life of King Hezekiah. Number 3, would you write it down as we conclude this message this morning? Pride costs us more than we think. Pride costs us more than we think. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. It says, "Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. I look at this passage of scripture and I think, wow, how far has this king come? Where he is so lifted up in pride that he doesn't even care about the impact of his own children. He says, well, what you say to me is interesting, and now I know that my days will be filled with peace. It's not going to be the same for my children, but at least I'm going to get a life of ease. Hezekiah was so lost. I mentioned before that when the devil, you know, tries to get into your life, he's not going to quit until he has everything. And Isaiah says to this king, he says, I want you to know that because of this, that Babylon will come and they're not your friends, they're your enemies, and they're going to take everything that you own. They're going to take your children and they're going to be servants, and you're going to lose all of your gold and all of your treasure. It's all going to be gone. You're going to lose everything. Because that's what the devil does. He doesn't just stop with one thing. He wants to run your life. And the Bible says in verse number 5, really the first reference of the Babylonian captivity, the Bible says that they would become captive in a foreign land, that Babylon would overcome them and destroy them. In this passage of Scripture, we notice that Hezekiah's decisions would impact his children. Now, listen, friend, we are now becoming what we're going to be. We are now becoming what we are going to be. The decisions that we make today are going to impact your life, and it's also going to impact the lives around you. You're not born on an island. You have influence. And the Bible teaches us that because of the decision of Hezekiah, his kingdom and his children would be impacted because of it. In verse number 7, the Bible says, of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. They will be taken away, and they will become servants in a foreign land. And some have suggested that probably because of the historical records of Merodach's ambassadors and all the records of the treasures of Judah, that this is what impacted one day Nebuchadnezzar to come in and to attack Jerusalem. The reality is that Hezekiah's decision impacted his children, but also, friend, listen to me, not only our physical children, but also our spiritual children, our influence today. All of us have spiritual influence as we live for the Lord, as we make good decisions for God. If we allow pride to lift us up, if we lose our focus and start to think more of ourselves and we live our life for the flesh, it's going to impact those around us. It's going to affect those that we know, our family, our friends, because they are looking to us more than you'll ever know. More than you'll ever know. And so the Bible says that Hezekiah was only interested in short-term gratification. He said, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. As long as it's good for me, then I'm okay with it. Listen, when you allow pride to drive the ship of your life, you're going to see things the wrong way. And it's going to be about you and not about other people. This, my friend, we all need the grace of God. Because I'm not saying this was Hezekiah's issue. I'm saying it could be your issue today. And it could be my issue today. If we allow pride, if it becomes about us and we don't care who we hurt, as long as we get our own way, then friend, it is a destructive path. Without the Lord today, we all will fail. We need God's help in our life. And so this story of Hezekiah, this godly king, is a picture of your heart. It's a picture of my heart today. It's a picture of the threat of pride and how pride causes us to lose focus, a misplaced glory and a misplaced gladness. And pride makes it all about us and not about God. And we don't see the threats or the consequences down the road. And we see things differently. We see things wrong. And pride costs us more than we'll ever know because it impacts those around us and it impacts the lives of those we know. And all of a sudden, we become so consumed with our own desires and our own self-gratification that we don't even care about those we hurt. It's all about us. Friend, listen, without the Lord today, we would all be lost. And it's the grace of God that helps us. How many knows the song, "Without Him, I Could Do Nothing"? Put up your hand if you know that song. Can we sing that together? Alan, can you put the words up? "Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be." The donkey awakened, his mind still savoring the afterglow of the most exciting day of his life. Never before had he felt such a rush of pleasure and pride. He walked through town and found a group of people by the well. "I'll show myself to them," he thought, but they didn't even notice him. They went on drawing their water and paid him no mind. "Throw your garments down," he said crossly. "Don't you know who I am?" They just looked at him in amazement. Someone slapped him across the tail and ordered him to move. "Miserable heathens," he muttered to himself. "I'll just go to the market where the good people are. They'll remember me." But the same thing happened. No one paid any attention to the donkey as he strutted down the main street in front of the marketplace. "The palm branches," he said. "Where are all the palm branches? Yesterday, they threw palm branches at me." Hurt and confused, the donkey returned home to his mother. "Foolish child," she said softly, "don't you realize that without Him, you're just an ordinary donkey? Without Him." You see, this is the connection that we have to look at from the Bible. Someone who is lifted up in pride is not someone living with the Lord, close to the Lord. Either they're not a Christian, or they have decided that the Lord can have that place, and I'm going to do my own thing. And friend, if you are living your life that way, you are living a dangerous pathway, a destructive pathway, and you can't even see the consequences or the threat that lies down the road, because all you can see is what I want, and I won't stop until I get it. God, help us today. Without Him, He makes the difference. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for Your word, and we thank You.